From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, can Texas make marijuana illegal again? This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick announced this week that he's going to make it a legislative priority to ban all forms of THC in the coming legislative session. Patrick said the THC ban would be designated as Senate Bill 3 and will be carried by Senator Charles Perry, a Republican from Lubbock. Since Texas lawmakers passed a bill in 2019 that allowed the sale of hemp-based products in Texas, there has been a booming market and the establishment of thousands of cannabis dispensaries across the state. It's been described as an $8 billion a year market. That law was intended to support Texas agriculture by permitting the commercialization of hemp containing trace amounts of non-intoxicating THC. But Texas has seen an explosion of intoxicating products that are inhalable or edible containing the cannabinoids known as Delta 8 or Delta 9. These are now also legal under that state law, as it's now understood. In his statement, Patrick holds that the law is being abused by retailers. He says they are using loopholes to sell products with high levels of THC, which are beyond the legal limits. These products are widely available at specialty stores, vape shops, and at gas stations, and these products are getting into the hands of minors. Patrick claimed in his statement, these products, including beverages, have 3 to 4 times the THC content, which might be found in marijuana, purchased from a drug dealer. And he said his bill will ban all forms of THC and keep these unsafe products off the street. In 2021, there was an attempt to ban Delta 8 in Texas by the Department of State Health Services, seeking to declare it an illegal substance. But a lawsuit brought by Hometown Hero managed to hold off that ban for now. Hometown Hero is an Austin-based cannabis business that manufactures and sells products like Delta 8 and Delta 9 edibles and consumables and vapes and THC products, CBD, and more. Cynthia Cabrera is the chief strategy officer for Hometown Hero.
It wasn't a super surprise because he's been saying this since April. So we knew this was coming, so it was expected. Obviously, we've been preparing for it, but it's unfortunate because it is a drastic approach to what, from what I remember reading last night, the problem he identified is that minors are accessing the product. But last year, we pushed an age bill that did not get traction within the Senate at all. So I wonder why such a drastic response to something that could be solved by just implementing an age restriction.
Can you talk about how Hometown Hero, y'all have challenged the state of Texas in the past and the courts when they tried to make the Delta 8 products scheduled one illegal in Texas, and they were having raids in stores that were selling the product, that you have been successful in trying to defend this? Why? What do you see as the benefit to having these products available to adults?
Well, first of all, this is America, allegedly the land of the free, where adults are able to make decisions for themselves. So whether someone likes a product or not, it is an adult's, they should have the ability to make a decision for themselves for what works. So for example, I'll use veterans. We work closely with veterans. They're very supportive. A lot of them use our products. These are people who fought for their country, sacrificed for their country, and have decided that they don't want to deal with opioids or stronger marijuana or going through a different kind of program. And as adults, we should, because I'm an adult, we should have the ability to decide what works for us. So whether this is a prohibitionist move or, and I only say that because it's quite a reaction to something that is identified as being the problem being, you know, that minors can access it. There's a fix for that. It's not a full-on ban. So in the United States, in America, and in Texas particularly, whose fame is built around being, you know, all about freedom and it's Texas and, you know, come and get it, you know, the whole whatever. And Texas is also an extremely, I mean, I've heard the governor speak multiple times, and he is a terrific speaker. By the time he's done talking, you are like, rah, rah, Texas. I mean, he's great. And Texas is a very business-friendly state, apparently, except when it comes to this, that, you know, a handful of people don't like. But it doesn't make sense. If the problem is an age thing, then why didn't our age bill get supported last year? Why don't we just have an age thing, you know, an age restriction put in?
The fact that we've had this law now and we've had so many shops come online, small businesses, they're trying to follow the law. If Dan Patrick gets his way, what does that mean for the people who have invested, you know, so much, many, probably some people, their life savings in selling these products?
Well, I mean, the first thing it means is that somebody's personal opinion or the fact that they don't like something allows them to willingly sacrifice over 50,000 jobs, thousands of businesses, $8 billion in economic impact, positive economic impact to the state. And mind you, these businesses get no assistance from any government, anything. So in what world is someone's plan to obliterate an entire industry? How is that helpful? What does that do? So what it means for all these businesses, and I'll tell you this, because of all the regulatory uncertainty in the state, the number of acres farmed by hemp farmers has decreased every year. Because it's very difficult to invest yourself in something when you don't know if they're coming after you again or whatever. Easier somewhat to open a store, but to your point, it's not free. People have invested their life savings. They have given things up. They've given up, you know, a regular paying job because they wanted the freedom that comes from owning their own business. The hemp industry is the epitome of the entrepreneurial spirit that America is known for. It is people opening their own business and thriving in a legal business that the state also legalized in 2019. And I give Texas a lot of props for being one of the first states to provide regulation for consumable hemp products. So it doesn't, it's not, none of that is good for businesses. And as a resident and these business owners that are residents, you have to wonder how they can live in a state where their legislators want to kill them, right? How does that make you feel good about your state? And a lot of people, including the founder of our company, have moved here from other states because Texas was such a great state to do business in. So what does it tell people that you're okay in Texas as long as somebody doesn't, you know, have a problem with whatever you do? And, you know, the products are legal, they're regulated, they're tested. If it's an age issue, handle the age issue.
In his statement, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said that a person can buy a product with THC level 3 to 4 times that of which they would be able to get from a black market a marijuana dealer. Is that true?
Absolutely not. The state requires that all products be below 0.3% Delta-9 THC. Number one, who is testing the black market product to know that? Number two, why would you only have a black market that thrives when you don't have a legal regulated market? So number one, no, that's absolutely not true. And the opposite is actually true. When you talk about a ban, you are inviting an illicit market. You're saying that you're better, you're happier having products that are black market, unregulated, no oversight. You prefer that to the regulated market you already have. Because that's what happens. You start a ban, you start prohibition, and the black market thrives. There's no need for a black market here.
if Dan Patrick gets his way, Senate Bill 3 gets passed, becomes law as written, as it's been filed so far, which he says would be a complete and total ban on THC products, do you think people would then break the law? Would they go online, get it shipped to them from out of the state? Would this actually prevent people from getting the THC products?
No, all it does is allow the black market to thrive. So essentially by saying you want a ban, you're saying I'm good with the black market thriving. I'm good with an illicit market, because that's what will happen. And just so we're clear, New Mexico, legal marijuana, recreational. Oklahoma has a very liberal medical marijuana program. All that stuff is going to get shipped into Texas because people will buy it, because they don't have a legal regulated way of buying it. So that will absolutely happen, guaranteed. And let me point out that there is a fentanyl crisis. What are the odds that this stuff starts coming in and it's not laced with fentanyl? That is a huge, huge problem in the country and in this state. So you're saying, yeah, let's open up a black market and to hell with whatever is, you know, those products are laced with.
And but the concern is that it's getting in the hands of kids. There are stories that there are vending machines with these products and that kids can just walk up and access them.
Okay. First of all, there is a way of age-restricting vending machines. And again, if your problem is that minors are access, and let me just say something else. When they created the regulation for these products, they did not include an age gate. The legislature, they did not include an age gate. It is bad business to sell to a minor, and I've never met a business that sells to a minor. But what is easy to use is the talking point that children or minors, I haven't seen one yet. I am constantly asking for a name. Can you point them out to me? Who is? I mean, I know that our particular products, Hometown Hero, are very expensive. So who's going to buy that? It doesn't make sense. There's no upside to selling to minors. But if you are that worried about it, then why didn't you support the age bill last year? Why don't you introduce an age bill this year? Why is it that a total ban is the only option? How does that make sense? There are so many downsides and negatives to a total ban that it baffles my mind. It doesn't make any sense. That's not a solution. You're saying you don't care what happens afterward. You don't care about the negative impacts.
And can you talk about why some people have a legitimate need for these products?
Oh my gosh. Listen, the woman who owns the gym that I go to, she's like early 60s, I guess. Super nice. And she had was going to have neck surgery, her second one, and she was on 3 different opioids and came to me one day at the gym and said, hey, listen, I heard that your company, you know, it's a good company, whatever, and I cannot get any sleep. She's like, I'm in so much pain. So apparently there's like a waiting period before she could have the surgery. Anyway, so I got her a little 2-pack for her to try, and she said, it is the first sleep I've gotten in weeks. So people know what they need. Adults know what they need. And what they don't need is the government telling them that they can't have something that they've already decided works for them. An $8 billion industry indicates that the market has decided they like these products. They work for them. Why would someone take that away? Why is that your default, to take that away from people?
Cynthia Cabrera is the Chief Strategy Officer for Hometown Hero, an Austin-based cannabis business that manufactures and sells products that contain Delta-8 and Delta-9, THC drinks, CBD, and more. Dr. Matthew Rosheim has been warning Texans about the dangers of THC products that are easily available. He is an expert on the health impacts derived from intoxicating cannabis products on children. He is a professor at the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth School of Public Health.
So we have widespread availability of high THC content products. We have among the weakest regulations on these types of products of states. When folks in the state were advocating for legalizing hemp, they said it was rope, not dope, that they were advocating for, but that's not what they did. And so we've seen nationwide spikes in calls to poison control centers for these products. Nationwide, 1 in 9 high school seniors used Delta-8 THC in the past year, which is one of the most commonly used of these substances. But there are dozens of other highly intoxicating THC products that are being sold in cookies, candies, gummies, chips. And we have among the least regulations on these products, but no amount of regulation is going to make using them safe.
But Texas has sort of a Wild West happening with these products, THC, Delta 8, Delta 9, and other variations are out there skirting the law. So how do you crack that down?
Absolutely. So there not only needs to be a ban on the sale of these products, but also it needs to be accompanied by enforcement or nothing will change. So there's going to be CBD products remaining on the market. Sometimes they have very little doses of THC, but sometimes they have intoxicating amounts of THC. And so you figure out how is enforcement going to be funded. It could be that there's higher license costs for CBD products and that there's large fines for noncompliance to help fund enforcement.
How can you describe this issue to people who don't know about it? They just have no idea that this is going on. What do they need to know?
Yeah, that these products are just widely available. They are marketed in ways that would be illegal for alcohol or tobacco, very youth-oriented. They are lacing candy, cookies, gummies, and chips with high doses of THC, putting cartoon characters on them, tons of different flavors, including things like Girl Scout cookies and Rainbow Unicorn. And they're being sold in tons of stores. We did an assessment in Fort Worth, Texas. We found more than 130 stores just in Fort Worth that were selling these products.
What impact does this have on a young person's brain?
Oh, it's for everyone's brain, it's bad for, mental cognition and things like that. But especially for young people, there's higher risk of them not developing cognitively appropriately, also much higher risk of addiction. We don't think of, the marijuana from the 70s as really being addictive because it was like 2% THC. A lot of the products now on the market, 30%, 40% is the norm. Some of the products that they're, dabbing in concentrates is over 90% THC. And especially for young people with a developing mind, they have very high risk of developing addiction with these products.
Do you think that Governor Dan Patrick's on the right track? Some people are saying we just need more regulation. These products are doing a lot of good, and they're afraid that that good will be sacrificed because of this urgency to crack down on keeping this Wild West out of the hands of kids.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the good that they're claiming is just based on anecdotes and personal stories. But when it comes to substances like these that are understudied, some of them have been around for a few months, others for a few years, we need hard data. We need evidence that regarding their harms and their benefits, rather than just taking these anecdotes at face value. And so before having them be used, widely by people, we should understand better the health effects. We know that they're harmful. There's enough research to suggest that they cause basically all the same harms as regular cannabis, and then more because of how they're chemically created and the contamination and, chemical byproducts and things like that. And so, they should be studied before widely used rather than having people serve as guinea pigs for the industry.
Dr. Matthew Rosheim is a professor at the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth School of Public Health. When it comes to the problem of easily available cannabis-derived products in Texas, attorney Susan Hayes says the problem is the lack of enforcement and monitoring to products that are now being sold. The state has been working on the honor system for these intoxicants, and if that doesn't get fixed, Texas will continue to have a problem with powerful THC products being sold, despite what laws are passed.
The trick to all of these discussions about hemp is, what do they mean when they say they want to ban it? What does it mean? It's a complicated plant. There are a lot of products out there on the market, some of which ought to be kept away, certainly from children, and even some of which from anybody, because they're too potent. But a lot of those products are very helpful, and they're incredibly popular. And one idea I keep trying to get across is we have to have a system that meets the demand. or the black market's going to keep raging and the gray market will keep raging. We have an incredibly limited medical cannabis program. And until that program is fully expanded, up to and including allowing doctors to prescribe it when a doctor sees it fit for their particular patient, they're never, ever going to be able to effectively ban these hemp products.
There are other states who are dealing with this problem. Are there some great states that seem to have a handle on it?
Yeah, this is a nationwide issue with, you know, quote-unquote hemp products that are truly the same as or even more odd or strange or potent than any legal marijuana product in legal states. If you look at a map of what states have banned intoxicating hemp products and what states have legal marijuana, they almost perfectly overlap. And that works there in those states because there's a place for people who want to consume cannabis, whether medically or recreationally, to go. The product is too ubiquitous and too popular to completely ban it. You've got to have a lane for marijuana products and a lane for medical use in particular, for those with PTSD or with some, you know, obscure and devastating conditions where cannabis can be extremely helpful to people to be able to effectively and practically afford these products and have access to them. And currently, the Texas Medical Cannabis Program does not do that.
What we hear from Dan Patrick is that they're concerned about are these THC products, Delta 8, Delta 9. You can buy them at the corner store. Yeah. It's up to the retailer or the guy behind the counter at that particular moment on who he's going to sell it to. There are vending machines that are available that don't have ID requirements. Basically, it's out there, but without any kind of regulation or way to keep it out of the hands of kids.
Yeah.
But if that's the concern, if we had a program like in some other states, then it would be like legal marijuana, but out of the hands of kids?
Yeah, I mean, there is a middle ground here. And some of the products that are out there are, frankly, completely wacky to me. When you see edible dosages that are 100, 200, I've seen as high as 500 milligrams of intoxicating product per dose. That's nuts.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Well, let me give you some context. In a legal marijuana state, edible doses are typically limited to 10 milligrams per dose. Tetrahydrocannabinols are what's known as biphasic. The effect they have at a low dose may be the complete opposite of what they have at a high dose. So there's a huge difference in how our bodies react to 5 or 10 milligrams to 100 milligrams or more, or 25 milligrams or more. And it's not necessarily just more of the same feeling. It can be the opposite feeling. High doses can cause tachycardia, which is bad for anybody with cardiovascular issues. What I've seen on the market in corner stores is 400, 500 milligram products that aren't just Delta 9 THC. There are a cocktail of synthetic and novel cannabinoids, that is, things that aren't known to nature and that we don't have thousands of years of human consumption to know, hey, this thing is really safe for humans to consume, like we have with Delta 9 THC or THCA. That concerns me greatly. And those products need to be off the market. What needs to be available statewide is the medically effective products, whether it's Delta 9 or combinations of naturally occurring cannabinoids like CBD or CBN, or THCV, which is a form of tetrahydrocannabinol that is not intoxicating, but has medicinal use, available so that doctors can practice medicine and help their patients as they see fit. And the people who find these products useful can have access to them in an affordable manner. And for Texas to accomplish that, we need to both greatly expand our medical program, which only has three companies who are limited to operating from one location in a state as big as Texas with over 30 million people in it, have more licensing, more locations, and get rid of regulation that doesn't serve its purpose and just costs money and therefore drives up prices. so that our medical cannabis program is effective, has reasonable statewide access, which is required by Texas law, but Texas law has never met it, and is affordable to people. And only then can you effectively compete with this gray market of intoxicating hemp products that claim legality, and certainly the old-fashioned marijuana black market.
Is the genie out of the bottle? Can it be put back in? If there is a law that says shut down these super potent candy-flavored edibles and other products and open up a legitimate, well-regulated medical marijuana system?
It's one thing to pass a law. It's another thing entirely to enforce it. And a huge problem Texas has is a lack of enforcement infrastructure on cannabis products. An even deeper problem Texas has is the state has failed to adequately fund our forensic crime labs. And a surprising thing people may not know is that as states have legalized marijuana, their crime labs testing requests for marijuana samples have gone up because the legal industry has to compete with the illegal, illicit industry. Now, do you want people getting their marijuana products from a cartel network coming out of Mexico? Or do you want people getting products from safe sources where the products have been tested by a third-party lab and that the state is paying attention to whether those labs are legit or cheating? And it's the same as with any other product. Think back to the days of when alcohol was illegal. Or hard to get with bootleggers. People died from bad booze. It's the same thing with cannabis products. Are we going to have legitimate good actors in this market? Or are we going to set up a system or allow a system to continue where bad actors have the upper hand?
These products that are sold at these like vape shops or specialty stores or the corner store, and they have these Delta 8 or Delta 9 in there. Do we know what's really in these products?
We don't for certain. What Texas hemp law requires is there be a QR code or a URL website address on every package where the consumer can go in there and look up what's called a certificate of analysis, a lab report of what's in that product. And I have gone into these gas stations and checked them. Some of them work, some of them don't. Some of them, when you look at the date of the lab test, it's really old. That is, it's not for that bottle that you have in your hand. And those are, again, the state has passed a law that requires that, but it has not put in the resources and the thoughtfulness to effectively enforce that law. It's a whole other issue. And full enforcement of the hemp laws we have on the books would go a long way. And I'll add, and there's an added degree of difficulty to all this. Congress is about to reauthorize the Farm Bill, and there's already two different proposals on the table to redefine the line between hemp and marijuana.
Susan Hayes is an attorney who works in regulating cannabis products. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters on our website at tpr.org, and you can find us wherever you download cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.